This morning, our reading is from the book of Genesis, chapter 18. We read, "And the Lord said, 'Shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing, since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I have known him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, and that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him.'" And we pray, these are your words, dear Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Please be seated. So over Christmas break, I turned 40. The big 4-0, and my wife, well in advance, was asking me, like, did I want to do something special for my 40th birthday? And I just was kind of thinking, like, what is a thing even to be done when you turn 40? Like, what exactly are we celebrating? I mean, some birthdays, you know, some of them it kind of makes sense. Like, when you turn 21, you're celebrating, hey, society sees you as a responsible human being, Finley. They couldn't go with an even 20. They had to wait that one extra year. And then like a light switch, now you're responsible when you hit 21. But when you turn 40, there's just no special thing with it, except maybe, I guess, you just start ticking the years down until doctors start bugging you about getting a colonoscopy. And you're just kind of waiting for that conversation. Even if you think about something like the birthday song, like, everyone would be outraged if you're like, I just don't like the birthday song, not going to sing it, not going to do it. But, I mean, the lyrics of the birthday song are just wishing happy birthday to you over and over, and it's not really clear what you're conveying with that wish. It's just kind of, okay, it's a birthday. Oh, man, this mic is... I don't know if you noticed that, but it's a little loud. Oh, well, we'll keep on trucking here. At any rate, birthdays, you just... I'm going to try to be as motionless as possible here. All right, birthdays, we don't know what we're really celebrating. That's the clear thing with...
I can talk loudly if you want.
All right, well... My big point here is that birthdays, we don't know what we're doing celebrating them sometimes. We don't think through the logic of it. We just do them. When we look at the lesson here with Abraham, okay, we have clarity as to what big thing we're celebrating. God is promising this business about a special offspring, and we know that to be Jesus the Savior, and that's very, very important. But like the vagueness surrounding birthdays, we're not totally clear what exactly is Abraham's special role in this whole thing? What is this amazing thing that he did to be a part of this amazing thing? And I think if we explore that, we learn a thing or two about how God works for us, how he works generally. You might think, okay, Abraham has done some pretty good things. Maybe that's connected. He's rescued his nephew Lot from captivity. He went through a big testing that God put him through. And just right around the text I read, he intercedes on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah to save them. So, yeah, I don't want to minimize that. That is good stuff. But what exactly does he do in connection with this whole thing about the offspring through whom all nations would be blessed? The other things he did are related to that. And this promise is given before the lesson, and it's reiterating the lesson right here. And it comes down to this. God says, you're going to have a son, basically. From this son, Isaac, a nation, Israel. From this nation, eventually a savior. And Abraham's role in it is have a child. Something very, very normal. Except God needed, he even did a miracle to make that work because of Abraham's age.
And then in our lesson, he highlights good parenting. And so Abraham's positioning in this whole grand scheme was actually very, very mundane and common. Regular human things. Regular human common things. But transformed through the power of a promise. And I would say God transforms your common things as well into something special through the power of a promise. Now, not a promise about a coming Savior, that was a one-time deal. But a promise, here I'll read, I think, one very important one in the book of Ephesians 2:10. It says, "We are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared in advance that we might walk in them." So he's prepared this in advance, just like he prepared things in advance for Abraham. This is for you and me too, for our works. He has a plan for them. They're so important for him that the Almighty figured it out ahead of time when we walk in. And that might involve things now or later for you. And both in different ways. It can involve work that you do now. Maybe a job. It might involve whatever your aspirations are as a career moving forward. It involves relationships now, the people around you. It might involve future things like being a parent, being a spouse. It involves things like volunteering. It involves things like being a friend to people around you. It involves being there for a neighbor, things like that. All these things God has infused with a special promise, like with that Ephesians verse. That they matter. They matter to him, and he planned them out because they were that important. Just like God had a special promise that infused what Abraham's plain mundane things were to make them something very, very special. And so it is a shame when we, in our sinfulness, don't appreciate the works and the life that God has placed before each and every one of us. It can be easy for us to be ho-hum about some of the things that we're doing. Some of the things that at times, yeah, it is going to feel like grunt work. I'm sure a lot of days of Abraham's parenting, it didn't feel like special, magical parenting. It was just normal, mundane parenting to follow the Lord. And many things that we do, sometimes it might feel special, sometimes it's not going to. It's going to be like, this is a pain. And so then at times we can kind of push that away from us. God has prepared this in advance to make a difference. He's put it in front of us. And sometimes we're like, nah, and we want to shut that off. And so, yeah, in our sinfulness, we're not always good about it when God has put things before us, this good works he's prepared in advance. But when we're down on those things, when they feel too mundane and common, we want to look at what God worked with Abraham and what he would work through that promise eventually through Jesus. So yeah, Abraham did mundane, common things. He had a child, Isaac, from that child, a nation, and then a Savior for us. But with that promise, this is special to accomplish saving us, giving us heaven, taking away our sins. Look at what Jesus accomplished in his life. Yeah, he did miracles and things like that, but he did many mundane, regular, common things. Because he's promised as a Savior to take our place, to do things like we do, but perfectly, to cover our mistakes up and take them away. It's infused with a special promise, those things. And just like, think of his death on the cross. Many people in antiquity died on a cross. It was a painful death. It was not special in any good way that you want it to be. If you were crucified back then. And yet, this common death of a criminal, Jesus transformed because there was a promise connected to the promise, infusing it with not just a miserable, painful death, but with the burden of our sins put on him. The burden of our sins on him, and then eventually overcoming it with rising again, winning heaven itself for us. So common criminal death accomplished tremendous things. It was transformed through the power of a promise. And so, yes, all nations would be blessed through Abraham's offspring, Jesus, with that power of the promise. Because people from all nations have heard and believed. And God really can do amazing things with plain mundane things when connected with the power of a promise. And it worked in a special way with Abraham and with Jesus, but you have promises too for you and your life ahead of you that God has prepared in advance. And that's something special to keep in mind in the grind and common mundane things we go through. And so yeah, in the end, I'm not really sure, again, what makes birthdays so special. I guess I get cake and I get some gift cards and I go with it. I go with it. So, you know, if you wanna, don't worry, if you know, you remember my birthday, December 28th, and you're like, you know, wanna bring me some gift cards, I'm not gonna turn them down on Christmas. I'll go with it. I'm not sure what the deal is with how birthdays work, but I do know how this stuff with Abraham worked out. That it was very, very special that an offspring would come through him. His role in it, though, in itself, in its humanly way, was not very special. It was very mundane and common. But through the power of a promise, it became something very, very special, that the Savior would ultimately be born through him. It's backed up by a promise. We've also talked about how your life is backed up with promises, too, to keep in mind. So whatever it is you're doing now, whatever it is you're doing forward, going forward, it may feel grand, it may feel not grand at times, but remember, God has infused these things in your life with promise. They matter to him. He planned them in advance for you to walk in them. So walk in them gladly. Amen.